The Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin yesterday announced that he would extend the deal that underpins the Fine Gael-led minority government for the duration of 2019 because of continuing uncertainty over Brexit. He said the next election was likely to take place in the spring of 2020. To discuss this, I'm joined from our Dáil studio, or will be presently, by Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin spokesperson on finance and public expenditure and reform. Also with me in studio, Fine Gael's Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State at the Department of Finance and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, and also the Fianna Fáil Deputy Leader, Dara Cailleary, is going to join us presently. But just a few minutes ago, I spoke to John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carla Kilkenny. What does he make of this extension to confidence and supply?
I don't agree with this, Sean. I think there's been very little discussion about this within the parliamentary party and indeed in the wider membership of the Fianna Fáil party. So the decision was really arrived at by a small number of people and we have not been consulted. The other issue is that, you know, the people will see that I think that we've abandoned them in the context of representing them in the course of our duties as an opposition party. We're now locked in apparently until 2020 and we'll not have the opportunity to raise the issues that concern so many throughout the country relative to housing, health, education and so forth.
Micheál Martin is very well aware of all that you've said, but he says these are not normal times. In normal times you would want an election, but because of Brexit the national interest requires that there be political stability here, hence his decision.
Well, the national interest does require stability, and I acknowledge the importance of Brexit and the dangers that exist should there be a no Brexit, or indeed any kind of Brexit. But the fact of the matter is that this could have been done differently. We could have set a date in May of 2019, when there's a local elections and a European elections. We could have held them to account. We've given the government a blank cheque. We've allowed them to dictate the terms of this. There is no documentation. There is no change in the original agreement. There has been no discussion on it. And I believe it's the wrong thing for the party and it's the wrong thing for the country.
Well, why don't you just table a motion at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party seeking to have this overturned?
We have not had the opportunity to discuss the agreement, and I will be asking that we will get that opportunity to debate this agreement. And this agreement is not a new agreement. It's a continuation of the old agreement. And the old agreement did not deliver for the thousands of people that are in difficulty in all sorts of ways up and down the country.
You mentioned the upcoming local and European elections in the spring of next year. Well, they're in May, I think. How will this decision at the highest level of the party affect your colleagues, your party candidates' chances?
Well, it'll be up to each candidate to put their best foot forward, but this is something that I think will draw back the best performance out of the party. It'll be something that will hinder the candidates in the run-up to the election, because they will be seen to be supporting and propping up a Fine Gael government and not exercising its right, its electoral mandate, which was to be in opposition and to challenge the government on every front. We haven't been doing that, and while it may be a case that you argue on the Brexit issue, I that does not wash with me. What I want to do is, I want to be able to argue from a strong position on the opposition benches for a better life for the people that are affected by the austerity over the last number of years, by the new challenges in their life now, cost of living, health, and all of the other departments that are bearing down on them in a negative way.
You tweeted back at your party leader last evening saying the deal you did is now being described as the cowardice and surrender agreement. Surely that's no way to address the party leader.
Oh, but it is, because we have to be stark and real about this. The fact of the matter is that this has been debated, or raised rather, at various meetings up and down the country in the lead-up to this decision. And one very strong member of the party said that to me, that this is the cowardice and surrender agreement.
Do you agree with that view?
And I do, yes. I think that it is. I have a very, very strong view on it. I think it was the wrong course to take.
You're accusing Micheál Martin, who's in the Dáil now for nearly 30 years, who has served in government. He's the party leader chosen by the membership. You're saying he's a coward and he's guilty of surrender.
I'm saying that the agreement was described as that by a member of the party.
And you agree with it?
It's something that I agree with, because we're showing political cowardice in the face of a government that is not serving its people well.
We are surrendering
to that government the right to represent people from the opposition benches, and that is simply wrong.
The honourable thing surely for you to do at this stage would be to resign from the parliamentary party.
No, the honourable thing for me to do is to defend the membership of the organisation and the general public that are in serious difficulty in their lives by ensuring that Fianna Fáil acts as an opposition, puts forward different policies than what is being supported by the Fine Gael party in government with the independents, and to show that we have a different approach to an economy, a different approach to society. And this deal puts us into a straitjacket right up until 2020, and that is not the right type of politics, in my opinion.
John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD, thanks indeed for joining us. And we had that conversation about half an hour or so ago. John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carla Kilkenny. Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin spokesperson on finance and the public service. Micheál Martin in his tweet said this decision will not be universally popular. John McGuinness, I suppose, is the proof of that, even within his own party. But it shows great courage on Micheál Martin's part, surely.
It does not. What it shows very clearly is that Micheál Martin has abandoned people who are suffering, who are struggling. It is quite spectacular that Micheál Martin has entered into what has been a charade for the last 7 weeks in terms of so-called negotiations and come out the other end of it without anything, without one single change in government policy. Not one single house, additional house, will be built as a result of this extension of confidence and supply. They haven't secured one hospital bed to be reopened. There is no changes in terms of children who aren't getting their needs met with, in terms of those with disabilities or special needs. No new proposals in terms of the million people who are on waiting lists or the hundreds who are in trolleys each day. No new proposals in relation to the fact that we now have a record level of rents in the state. And this is very clearly Micheál Martin, as we knew before the charade started, is a leader who is afraid to face the public, okay, because he knows the consequences of not leading his party into government would be personally catastrophic for himself.
Derek Cleary, why was the parliamentary party not asked to approve this decision?
Firstly, Sean, we've been in a process for 7 weeks, which has been detailed, and you know the parliamentary party were aware of that process. There was a discussion at the parliamentary party meeting on Tuesday evening where Micheál Martin looked for the support of the parliamentary party to move this to the next stage. This is framed in the context of Brexit and in the context of the challenges that the country faces.
But did he tell them what the next stage was?
To use John McGuinness's own phrase, the national interest at the moment requires stability. And Brexit, I don't think it will be resolved by the 24th of May. The consequences of Brexit for employers, for people all over the country in their daily lives, will not be resolved by the 24th of May. So we've given space, and we've given that space of political stability at a time when you see the instability across the water. There will be political stability here to get this country through the first phase of Brexit.
But was it necessary to give them such an extension? The blank check for a whole year. I mean, that maybe there could be, I suppose, thinking as well in Fianna Fáil. Look, Leo Varadkar, he's still fresh-faced in the office of Taoiseach, and the polls suggest Fianna Fáil mightn't come too well out of an election, so why not lock him in to not being able to call an election
There's no blank cheque. The agreement that is there continues, and just to do with Pearce's comments, the agreement in 2019 was the extra money in the National Treatment Purchase Fund, which is dealing with waiting lists. The agreement in 2019 has delivered €100 million for an affordable housing scheme. There was €20 million in that in 2018. That €100 million will start to deliver affordable houses to people. There are issues of changing regulations to allow local authorities to build houses quicker. There are continued improvements in education.
That's
so the agreement continues. The lifetime of the agreement continues. And, you know, Sinn Féin are very good at elections. I give them that. But they're very poor at government.
Let me bring in Patrick O'Donovan, the Minister for Public Service, Minister of State at the Department of Public Finance and Public Service. This really is something by way of an uncovenanted bonus for Fine Gael, is it?
No, I think what this is a recognition by Fianna Fáil, of the main opposition party, that we're in unprecedented times, and you only need to look at the last 72 hours to see how unprecedented that is. And events are running ahead of what we would have all expected, and nobody knows what the next twist and bend in the road are going to produce in terms of Ireland's relationship into the future with the United Kingdom. So it is very important that we give the electorate a sense of security here at home in the first instance.
But can you believe your political luck that you haven't had to give them anything by way of a political concession?
Sean, no one won the last election, and the one thing that I think we'd all agree on is that the only party who didn't want to form a government is Sinn Féin. So in the immediate aftermath of a no-win election for anybody, the arithmetic produced a situation where two parties had to come to a negotiation, and that's where confidence in supply was born out of. And out of that came an agreement which has now been extended. And, you know, I agree with John McGuinness on a lot of things. I served with him on the Public Accounts Committee. He's a fine chairman of the Finance Committee, and he was a brilliant chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. And he knows, as well as I do, that the last thing that we need at the moment is plunging Ireland into a general election when we have the farce almost that's emerging on a day-by-day basis in relation to Britain's supposed exit from the European Union. The last thing we need here is uncertainty to that scale. So I think what Micheál Martin has done is the right thing to do, and it's not a blank cheque. And if it is a continuation of what we've already had in place, well, that's because there are things that have still to be finished.
Piers Doherty, not a blank cheque.
Look, it is a blank cheque. Dara was listing off things which were from the previous agreement. They haven't secured one additional item for their now offer of continuing this supply agreement for the next year and a bit. And the reality is, and we heard Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil talk about security and stability, there is no security or stability for the 10,000 people who are in emergency accommodation. There is no security and stability for those who are now facing record levels and rent. There is no security and stability for the 100,000 workers who are working every hour that God sends them, but still find themselves in poverty. These are issues that could be dealt with by government, and they are refusing to do so.
Sean, can I come in there? What this is doing is giving security to our country at a time of huge national challenge. It's giving security to the 250,000 jobs that will be impacted by a hard Brexit. It's giving space to the government to get its finger out and put an implementation plan in place to get us through Brexit. And yes, we will continue to secure extra housing. We will continue to secure extra rights for tenants, extra hospital places and hospital beds. But we're doing it from a position of responsibility. Sinn Féin want an election. They want to go into an election. They want to shut this country down for 3 months, and then they won't go into government. They will not engage in the process of actually delivering whatever mandate they get.
That's not true. First of all, we want the health crisis sorted. We want the housing crisis sorted. And what's
you
very
want
clear,
it sorted by shouting clear, at us. You
have no solution. What's very clear over the last 3 years is that Fine Gael, with the support of Fianna Fáil, and remember, Fianna Fáil voted against measures, sensible measures put forward by Sinn Féin, which would result in no evictions, and that landlords would not be allowed to evict people into homelessness.
Sinn Féin voted against the provision of 1,000 social and affordable houses in Dublin.
That's not true.
Your councillors on South Dublin County Council voted against housing for people who need an affordable house and need a social house. So do not lecture me about
responsibility. I want to bring a text from one of our listeners, Piers Doherty. You will be interested in this, and I'll give you a first response to it. It's a listener saying John McGuinness is out of touch. Fianna Fáil would not win an election. Micheál Martin is putting the country first in these uncertain times. Sinn Féin, as usual, are the hurlers on the ditch with no responsibility or mandate to govern. And you've proved that.
No, we are the lead opposition party. That is the reality. What we have is Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil trying to carve up opposition and government at the same time. We have put forward proposal after proposal that will deal with the health crisis, that will deal with the housing crisis.
You didn't participate in serious efforts to form the last government. You've got members elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly who have not been participating because you pulled out of the Assembly almost 2 years ago. And we won't even mention the abstentionism in Westminster, giving the DUP a free run.
Well, first of all, maybe you don't mention it now because I think the farcical situation of commenters suggesting that our 7 votes would have actually solved the Brexit crisis has been exposed over the last couple of days.
But you might have been able to be a bit more influential with the Labour Party.
Let me finish now because you've
had a good run at it now.
Well, I was asked a question, and with respect, I'm going to try and answer the question. In relation to the Assembly, I'm sure you know that we had struck a deal with the DUP early this year. But let's be clear, Sinn Féin will not be in government where our our constituents and citizens will be denied basic rights. And I wouldn't expect Dara Cleary to stand over a situation where citizens in Mayo would be denied basic rights such as identity, language, the right to marry, all of those basic rights, and Sinn Féin will not tolerate that. And that's why we entered into serious negotiation. We agreed with Arlene Foster a deal that would have got the executive up and running, and any serious political commentator or political observer understands the difficulty and the challenges that the DUP have at this point in time, and the fact that there is no appetite in that party to now re-enter
right,
into negotiations.
Patrick O'Donovan.
But we are ready for that when that takes place, and we want to be in government, let's be clear about that, but we'll be in government only on the basis of resolving the serious crisis that exists in this state.
Can I say that where they have an opportunity to be in government, the first thing that Sinn Féin did when they were confronted with social welfare changes in Northern Ireland was they ran away from it and they sent the responsibility back to Westminster.
It's not true. Patrick, we actually secured a different social welfare payment in Ireland. This is the same
tactic that Pearse always uses. Whenever he's challenged, the angry man breaks out and he starts shouting people down.
I'm just pointing out facts.
I mean, there you go again. Just in relation to the abstentionist thing, Sean, you said let's not mention it, but let's mention it. I mean, yesterday the Taoiseach challenged the leader of Sinn Féin in relation to the abstentionist policies, and Pearse and his band of followers started bursting laughing. This is no laughing matter. There are people in Northern Ireland who are in a very precarious position and have nobody to represent them bar a unionist rump that have decided that they're going to threaten the future economy and the future development of Northern Ireland, while at the same time there are people that won't take their seats and they think it's funny. And just in relation to, you know, people being denied their rights in the current situation, this impasse that's in Northern Ireland, the reason that they're being denied their rights is there's no functioning administration. Northern Ireland is being administered because you have two intransigent parties who do not want to govern. It suits them that they don't want to make hard decisions. And what you have south of the border is the very same. And, you know, Mary Lou was to be this great panacea, and I'm not a great fan of opinion polls, but let's look at opinion polls. They're stuck in gear, going nowhere. And that's why I think that at the end of the day, the one thing we can all agree on is Sinn Féin are in dread of their lives that there'll be a general election.
Patrick, seriously, you're embarrassing yourself on a number of points. First of all, in relation to
you must
social
be going
welfare,
now.
And first of all, in relation to social welfare cuts, you will actually, if you knew anything about the North and followed this, you would have understood that Sinn Féin secured mitigation in relation to the
from Westminster.
Can I finish and point out facts? Secured mitigation, which meant that there was a different social welfare payment in the North compared to the rest.
You
of
secured
Britain.
It from the this, British government. This,
that's who you have to negotiate
because you
with,
wouldn't,
Patrick.
Because you wouldn't
Patrick,
deal with it locally.
Patrick,
you wouldn't not, make a decision
do not,
locally.
Do you not understand where social welfare...
Oh, I understand,
welfare,
I understand
Patrick,
perfectly. But you, did, you didn't want a devolved power given to your government in the North because you had to make tough decisions, so you ran away.
Patrick,
and you're
social,
running away in the South.
Patrick,
and you run away everywhere there's a difficult decision, like you ran away in Dublin when it came to building social houses.
Okay, let Pierce
Patrick,
back
social welfare, if he knew anything about this, he would know that social welfare payments are actually paid from the Exchequer in Britain.
Because you refuse responsibility.
No, that's not the case.
It is the case.
And, look, I can't really... it's very difficult to debate with somebody who is so ignorant in relation to these issues if you just continue to deny basic facts. In relation to rights, we were in the Assembly for 10 years doing what many people believe was unbelievable, unachievable, sharing power with Ian Paisley. And we did that. We did that progressively. We changed many things in the North in relation to do that. But what happened then was you had the RHI, which is a serious allegations of corruption within the DUP, and we have an investigation going on at the time. We had the denial of rights in relation to Irish language. We have the DUP
so you ran
using provisions within
so you
the
ran
Friday.
Away from making
Patrick,
decisions.
Like,
you ran away from government
childhood
and you
stuff.
Ran away from responsibility
so
and you
happened?
Run away down here as well, and everybody knows.
Okay, just I want to recall something just by way of background coming back in the context of what Micheál Martin announced yesterday. Have a listen to this. It's the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar talking about Micheál Martin to Ryan Tuberty on last Friday's Late Late Show.
Real leadership this year. You know, first of all, supporting the referendum to repeal the 8th when most of his TDs didn't even want a referendum. And it's, you know, hard to go against your own party. And I think that was a real example of leadership. And I also think when you look across the water now and you see what's happening in London, you know, where the main opposition party, Labour in London, are trying to use Brexit to bring the government down. Micheál has adopted a very different approach here, and he's given the government a degree of security while we try to resolve Brexit. And I think that shows genuine leadership on his part.
Dara Cleary, might this just be the start on what we saw yesterday on a route that would see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael being in coalition together, like Andy Kenny proposed after the last election?
No. You know, Micheál Martin has shown huge leadership, and it would be the easiest thing in the world for Micheál Martin to have said yesterday, we're ending this agreement, we're going for an election. And that would have kept our membership very happy, would have kept John McGuinness very happy. But in the context of the challenge that faces us, he took the very courageous decision to go along this path. We don't want to facilitate Fine Gael government. We want to be in government, and I've made no secret of that. We would do things very differently. But this country faces a grave challenge, and we are stepping into that breach. And Micheál Martin has shown huge courage in stepping into that breach. It is taking responsibility. It is taking the mandate that we were given in 2016 and using it responsibly in the context of Brexit, but also continuing to get changes to Fine Gael's policies in terms of housing, affordable housing, in terms of health, waiting lists, in terms of education, and a wide range of issues. And we will continue to use that mandate.
Patrick O'Donovan, have Fianna Fáil successfully changed Fine Gael's actions in government?
I think what Fianna Fáil have successfully managed to do is negotiate with Fine Gael, particularly in the run-up to budgets, which was locked into the confidence and supply agreement. But at the end of the day, Fine Gael have put forward a platform for government with ourselves and the independents, which is the programme for government, and that's what we're held to account for. And just in relation to the comments that the Taoiseach made about Micheál Martin, I think it's fair comment. As I said a while ago, no one won the last election. One party chose to run away and put us into a situation where we'd be in a precarious position. Fianna Fáil took a mature decision, which was, if this is going to be the limbo that we're going to be left in, somebody has to form a government. Enda Kenny did, as you said, give out the possibility of a coalition. That was rejected. This was the next available option. And there's a lot of people, you know, talking about that this government shouldn't continue. But they're the very people, Sean, no matter what happens, would be in dread of their lives that they'd wind up in government. And it's the one thing we would all agree on, because I think we would all be in dread of our lives that they'd wind up in government.
Pierce Doherty, last word.
Well, listen, Sean, Fine Gael TDs and Fine Gael ministers can't believe their luck. Christmas has come early because Fianna Fáil has handed this government a blank cheque, and in doing so, what they abandoned is a lot of people who are not getting on very well, people who are struggling by, people who were looking for this party to actually negotiate in genuine. You can't have negotiations without an outcome, and they have secured nothing.
Fianna Fáil, Sean, Fianna Fáil have put on the Irish jersey while Pearson and his colleagues continue to wear the Sinn Féin jersey. Country first.
Okay, look, last parties word, in government because they don't on want. Back in studio to you, Patrick O'Donovan. It's about Brexit, it's about Theresa May, as I said, weakened and wounded, going to Brussels to the summit, looking for legally binding assurances that effectively the backstop won't be implemented. In other words, bowing to the DUP pressure, they want it gone.
Well, before yesterday happened, I think people would have said that Theresa May wasn't even going to win the vote. She has won the vote 2-1, and anybody who stands for election wins it by 2-1. That's not a bad result. So she's gone to the European Council today. She's looking for assurances. These have been given previously in other European treaties. But what we've been consistent on, what the EU27 have been consistent on, the Commission and the Council, this treaty is not up for negotiation. This is the deal. This is the deal that passed the UK government. This is the deal that has been secured by the Irish government and the other 27. It is not up for negotiation. But if clarity has to be given, clarity will be given.
OK, we'll talk about this more after 11. We'll leave it there for now. My thanks to the three of you. pardon me. Patrick O'Donovan, Minister of State at the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, Derek O'Leary, Deputy Leader of Fianna Fáil, and also my thanks to Sinn Féin, Party Spokesperson on Finance and Public Expenditure and Reform. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.